And welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast. Let's go.
Let's go.
It's been too long, Braden. It's been 2 weeks, but we're back. We're back. How have you been holding up?
Oh, man. I've been doing pretty good. Huxitani Phil's been playing some tricks on us.
Oh, my goodness.
Little cold and rainy here in Utah the last couple days. Last couple weeks, I guess.
Yeah, honestly, like one day snow, one day like 50 degrees. So I'm not complaining, but it's kind of weird, but we'll take it.
Spring's almost here. I guess it is spring, but full spring's almost here.
Yeah, been a rough couple of weeks for the Jazz. I guess if we were going to miss an episode, I guess last week probably wasn't the worst time to miss an episode. Nothing too crazy's been happening.
Yes, if you weren't watching Jazz, you didn't miss much, unfortunately.
Yes, it's been hard to watch, very hard to watch. But we're going to dive a little bit into that. We also have some upcoming games. We are really towards the end of the NBA season. What do we have, like 2 or 3 weeks left?
Yeah, we're like pretty close.
So we're getting towards the end. We'll talk about those games, this kind of losing streak we're on, and these upcoming games. And then we also have some fun later today in the episode. We're going to do a draft of the best college players that have also played for the Utah Jazz. So kind of course, like right now is March Madness. As we're recording this episode, it's Thursday, and UConn and Arizona are both playing their games. So
yes,
we're going to reminisce a little about some of the best Jazz players in their college career. And
yes,
we'll get to that later in the episode, and then we'll maybe talk a little bit about March Madness.
Yes, lots to talk about our episode today. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that wherever you get your podcasts, that you'll share it with a friend. Remember, we have Spotify, Apple Podcasts, our main, but wherever you get your podcasts, you can find us. We're also on Instagram at TunedInJazz. We try to always post when we have new updates and new episodes, so make sure to go on there, tag your friends. Thank you for joining us. And this is episode 22 of Tuned In Jazz.
Well, we have a lot of games to get through today.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. I'm losing hope that I can catch you in the rankings. We're running out of time here.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty easy to pick games when we're losing every single one, I guess.
It is.
So it's not too much of a challenge. But that being said, we both had some hope that the Jazz might beat the Timberwolves in one of those two games in Salt Lake, but we ended up losing both of them.
Yes, we were very wrong.
Maybe the first thing we should talk about is Anthony Edwards' dunk.
Oh, yeah, we got to. I couldn't remember which game. I think it was the second game, right, that happened?
Yeah, I was actually at that game with some friends. And
oh, man.
It was the wrong kind of highlight, but also it was pretty cool to see. I'm sorry to John Collins. He got kind of wrecked on that play.
Yeah, I will say, like, that was... You got to give Anthony Edwards his flowers because that was just insane athleticism. But I will die on the hill that it was also an offensive foul. But that's okay because you can't ruin the highlight.
Oh, no. I'm okay with there being no foul there. That was just pretty amazing to see him do that. I definitely couldn't do it.
Nope,
but
me neither.
I would say one common theme, at least Mike Conley did well when he played against us. And I'm still one, at least, I don't know about you, I still cheer for Mike Conley. He's such a great guy, and he came back to Salt Lake, and he let us know that we should have kept him. But anyway, yeah, he had two really good games. I think he was honestly one of the big difference makers in why we lost these.
Mike is back, well, for the couple games at least.
But, yeah.
Anthony Edwards is just, even outside of that dunk, he's just an incredible athlete. I'm kind of excited to see what happens with Timberwolves in the playoffs. They, I don't know if you heard, but today they were supposed to be sold apparently soon, and then the owner backed out. And anyways, so kind of a lot of drama, and obviously that doesn't help your team come playoff push, but it'll be interesting to see what they do come playoff time in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if that like ownership thing will have any effect on like our draft picks moving forward. but the team looks good in any rate. I will say Markkanen didn't play the first game, and that was kind of a common theme these past couple weeks is Markkanen's in and out of the lineup and playing and not playing. But he did play the second game and had 22 points, so you love to see that.
Yeah, my hot take, I honestly thought he was done. But I'm guessing that's more his decision than the team's to have him play.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the second Minnesota game especially, 22 and 12, he looked really nice. Gionte, 15 and 8.
Colin Sexton.
We have some bright spots. Yeah, we got some bright spots. So.
Yeah, I've been impressed with Colin Sexton. He had 24 off the bench. He, like, honestly probably shouldn't deserve to come off the bench, but I think he's taken that role well, and he still plays a lot of minutes, so it's not like he's really not a starter. He just starts off the bench in a way, but
it's a little bit of an odd choice. I think Chris Dunn deserves to be in the starting lineup, but like I feel like a couple weeks ago we were kind of just rolling a little bit with Keontae and Colin Sexton, and they were the only two that were balling out for us. So, but I mean, I guess it doesn't matter too much.
I think Will Hardy's just trying to have some offense off the bench with kind of some of the guys we've lost. So I think that's been good. And Jordan Clarkson's kind of been hit or miss a lot of these games too. So kind of some tough games there. After we played the Timberwolves, we went on to Oklahoma City, right?
Started a road trip. I thought, again, Colin Sexton looked really nice, 25 and 7 with two steals. But ultimately, Chet Holmgren just kind of had his way with us. 35 and 14, three blocks.
I think that's the best game I've ever seen him play, because he's usually kind of a role player, but he was the star.
Yeah. Any other year, he's a lock for Rookie of the Year, but I think it's just a bad year for him.
Definitely. And then also another game, Colin Sexton came off the bench. He put up 25. So kind of a similar vibes to the other Timberwolves game, I would say.
Yeah. Hopefully he keeps rolling with that into next season, because whatever moves we make, it would be nice to see him doing that for us next year too.
Yeah, most definitely.
And then we continue our road trip on Thursday. We headed to Dallas, the red hot Dallas Mavericks, and we cured another loss. What were your thoughts from this game?
I would say I was looking at Reddit, has usually like on the Jazz subreddit, it has like a post-game chat where people give their thoughts. Mm-hmm. And one comment really stuck out to me. It was talking about Taylor Hendricks guarding Luka in this game. And I mean, Luka still put up 34 points, but he was actually a minus on the court when he was out there. He was a minus 3, which is not much. But it's just going to show that Taylor Hendricks actually played pretty good defense on him throughout the game. Of course, they pulled away in the fourth quarter, and we kind of kept it close until the fourth quarter. Kind of leads to some thoughts that we might be tanking. Yeah. But I would just say at least Taylor Hendricks kind of showed some promise on the defensive side in this game.
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate. I think our players are in tank mode as well. There's a lot of those young guys who are taking advantage of some extra minutes, which you love. That's what we need from them right now. And one guy I was really impressed with was Bryce Sensabaugh. He was 1 for 7 shooting, so it wasn't a great scoring night for him. But he did have 8 rebounds and 5 assists. You love to see that a guy like him is just trying to like make an impact, even if he's not like scoring. That's kind of what we've been wanting from him. Mm-hmm. So
that's what coaches wanted from him for sure.
Absolutely. Mavericks are a good team. One thing I have noticed though in these, I know we got more games to talk about. Maybe our next one doesn't fit what I'm about to say, but in those first four games that we talked about, we weren't letting teams drop 140 on us. So that's a plus. We're playing better defensively, so
And I mean, we did end up playing the Mavericks again in like a few days, and it was like we only lost by 10, and those 10 points were in the fourth quarter, so kind of same deal. I think the second game we showed a little bit more promise, but the Mavericks still pulled away. So, I mean, honestly, as a Jazz fan, and maybe you feel the same way, I'm okay with losing these games. We don't really have anything to play for except that pick. So, just good to see the rookies playing. And also in the next Mavericks game, I know we kind of skipped one, but Lauri had 34 points, but didn't do anything in the fourth quarter. So it's also like, wonder what's going on here. But he had a great game that second Mavericks trip.
Yeah. I mean, staying on the Mavericks, one guy that's we've just been kind of missing is Jordan Clarkson. He came back in that game, but he had 5 turnovers. Just didn't really like find a groove at all.
Pretty bad for him, for his standards.
Yeah, but we're really actually this time witnessing the end of the Jordan Clarkson era. Just kind of sad, but
yeah, I will say sometime. His contract is pretty team friendly, so as long as he doesn't play awful like he has recently, I'm okay with having him have like a small role off the bench and kind of let the young guys take more of a big role, but we'll see what happens with him. He still, I feel like, could be a decent trade piece this offseason if a team is interested.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I think he still has some life in him. Just the question is, does he fit the Utah Jazz timeline? Does he deserve to go to a winner? You know, so it's kind of we're in a weird spot with him, but we'll see what happens this offseason.
Yeah, I will say we did skip another game that happens. Let's see, it would have been Saturday at Houston. There is a big talking point with this game. I don't know if you saw the fight between Chris Dunn and Jabari Smith.
I did, or I saw the punch that Dunn missed.
I mean, he wanted to land it, I'm sure. But any thoughts you have from that or like just this game, I guess?
Well, so I kind of just think we're, you know, maybe there's some of the guys on the team that are like the Hendricks and Sensabaugh's who are content with what we're doing because it gives them an opportunity to prove themselves. But guys like Chris Dunn and I'm sure Lowry and Jordan Clarkson, these type of guys don't like losing, you know, like they've been playing long enough that. So anyways, to the point with the fight, I think I kind of just feel like we're at a boiling point a little bit. Sometimes just the chemistry just seems off. Guys,
it also makes me think Lauri Markkanen next year is the last year of his contract, and I'm sure he doesn't love to tank or to lose. And so if I were Lauri, I would say, hey, we need to win games next year, or I might try and go to a different team. And so I don't know if that means that the team would need to trade him to go in the direction they want, or if we just need to go all in on winning and next year so that we can keep Lauri, because I think he'd be better than probably 90, maybe 95% of players that we might end up drafting anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd be lucky to find somebody better than him.
Yeah, definitely. But overall, kind of a tough week. Losing 7 games in a row definitely has something on you mentally.
Yeah.
To kind of finish it out, we did lose to the Rockets, and that was probably our worst loss of this whole stretch. You could maybe... Yeah. We lost 147-119. So pretty bad there. And the Rockets have been on a tear. I think they've won 8 or 9 games in a row. So they've been killing everybody.
Yeah.
But that game really, really kind of sums up this losing streak. We did end up losing to the Spurs at the end of the streak as well on this last week.
Yeah, that wasn't as ugly of a loss, but it was, I feel like, the cherry on top of what's been a pretty bad couple of weeks. And I agree that Houston game was just something. Jalen Green, 41 points. Rockets are kind of rolling right now, though, but we still would have liked to put up more of a fight. Kind of unfortunate.
And then that last Spurs game, Wemby did play. He did all right, but yeah, we lost to the Spurs. That's pretty sad as well. Lauri had 25. Sexton had 26. But other than that, the rookies in those other games kind of looked pretty bad, not going to lie.
Yeah.
Keontae George looks tired. Bryce Sensabaugh's kind of gone back down a little bit in scoring, and Taylor Hendricks has kind of just been defense, and that's mostly all. So hopefully we can see the rookies have a couple breakout games with the games we have left.
Yeah, I think they're probably hitting that wall. 82 game seasons is obviously not something they've probably ever done before, so we just deal with it, I guess.
Maybe we could bring in Kenny Lofton for one of these games and just let him go crazy, yeah, like we let THT go crazy last year.
Yeah, why not?
Did you see he had 52 points for the Stars?
I didn't. That's crazy. I mean, it doesn't surprise me, but that's... wow.
Yeah, and we basically have him on a free contract. Like, he's not getting paid very much at all, so he could end up being something. That'd be great.
Yeah, him and, what's the other guy, James Preston. I keep seeing crazy stat lines from him, too. From the
We got Darius Bazley on there,
too. Darius Bazley. Why not give some of these guys some minutes? And, you know, I don't know. It's where... we're trying to find bright spots here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got to have something new, something good. Yeah. But maybe just player of the week. I guess it'd be player of the 2 weeks since our last episode. Is there a player that you saw in these box scores and while you were watching that stands out even in this losing streak?
Well, one guy that I've been really impressed with, even though I know we just talked about our rookies kind of hitting a wall, is Bryce Sensabaugh. I've been really impressed just with how he's like used those minutes. He plays really hard. He's not like super efficiently scoring right now, which, you know, is something we'd like to see him improve on. But just seeing him like do other things, he hasn't been terrible defensively, hasn't been like great. But anyways, it's just, I would say I'm happy for him that he's kind of carving out maybe a little bit of a role on this team. Maybe next year's team he could get a couple minutes. So
yeah, I love that, and I think he's just trying to gain more confidence and taking shots.
Yeah,
some of these games he barely took any shots, and then in the Houston game he took 14, didn't shoot the best, but at least he's starting to get more confidence in being out there.
Absolutely. That's how Keontae started at the beginning of the year. I feel like he was just kind of not hitting anything, and Bryce Sensabaugh is just a couple months behind, so hopefully.
Yeah, maybe we'll see.
Hit more shots.
Who
do you have for player of the week?
Yes, I'll say for me it was a no-brainer. I went with Colin Sexton.
Yeah.
He's been putting up numbers in this losing streak.
Yes,
some of the games he's come off the bench, but I'll just read his last 5 games point totals. He got 25 against OKC, 20 20, 20, and 26. So he's consistently been scoring. We've been losing, but at least he's been good.
Yeah, I thought about putting him as well. He's just been so consistent since probably, I don't know, the beginning of the year when we were questioning if he had a future on our team, and
something clicked with the team. Yeah. I don't know, like a couple months into the season. And I think that was when he clicked as well.
Yep. And he's just been really nice. And I'm excited to see what he is moving forward. It'll be awesome.
Yeah, I'd say if there was any like silver lining to this season, I think it is that Colin Sexton can be a much better player than I would have thought going into the season. I think earlier when we were trying to make our predictions at the very beginning of the season, the guy that I thought was going to break out was going to be Walker Kessler. Hasn't been the case so far, but I think of all the players on the team, Colin Sexton's the breakout guy. He exceeded my expectations, even though our team has been kind of towards the bottom.
And he's had every excuse to just kind of hang it up this season, but he's just putting his head down and playing, because that's what a young bull does. That's what we need him to do. So, but we've got 4 games coming up in the coming week. We're obviously doing our episode just a little early this week because of Easter and things going on. But our first game is at home against Houston. We talked about getting killed by them about a week ago.
They're on like a huge win streak.
Yep. What do you think is going to happen tomorrow night against the Rockets?
I think it's a loss. I just feel like the Jazz are on tank mode. It's hard not to predict a loss for most of these games, honestly.
Yes, it is. I'm right with you. I think it's a loss. I think I want to say, did they lose last night? I want to say they lost last night, but they were on a pretty big win streak. And last I checked, they were just a couple games out of the play-in, which in the West is just kind of, the standings are kind of crazy right now.
They actually didn't lose last night. Oh, they beat OKC in overtime.
Oh, okay.
On the road. They
just checked out early.
Yeah, no, they've won like 9 games in a row.
Sheesh. Yeah, actually, so they're making a playoff push, and we're not making a playoff push. We're making a lottery push. So,
yeah, we're both going opposite directions, and I think they're only like one or a half game behind Golden State, so they could totally make the play in.
Oh yeah, yeah. The West standings are crazy right now. If they, you know, if they make a good push at the end, they could find themselves even out of the play in, like in the actual seed, just with how crazy those standings are in the West. So.
Yep.
And then we hit the road, go to Sacramento, lock your cars. We're playing the Kings. What do you think is going to happen in that game?
Just another tough outing. We have a tough stretch. I'm just going to keep going with the loss. It's okay. We'll get some good experience against them, but I'm going to do a loss.
I'm right there with you. I think it's going to be a loss. Another team that's making a playoff push. They're currently 8th in the West, but they're only a game back from 6th. I'm sure they don't want to play a play-in, but I have faith that next season we're going to be seeing lots of wins. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, and then Tuesday against the Cavaliers. What do you got for that?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird road trip. We start the week on the road, come home, and then go back on the road to California again, but I got a loss. It's so tough playing against playoff teams this late in the season, especially when they're fighting for seeding. Cavs are 4th right now, half a game back from the Knicks. So I'm going to say a loss as well.
Yeah, I would say a loss too. Donovan Mitchell might be back for this game. He's been out for like the past week or so.
Yeah.
He'll probably come back. I don't know if he'll be full health, but I still think it'll be a loss.
Yes, I agree. And then we finish off the week back on the road in LA to play the Clippers. What do you think about this one?
You know, out of all these games that we're trying to pick right now, this is the one that we might have a chance just because the Clippers have had like the worst defense in the NBA recently. And so maybe we could surprise them.
Yeah.
You know what? It's no fun to put all losses. I'm going to put a win in LA. Let's spice it up a little bit. I think we could beat the Clippers just because their defense has been terrible recently. And they've kind of been on a losing spree as well. So let's get one win. Let's get it.
I actually agree with you. I kind of just go on gut feeling on this one. I'm saying it's going to be a win.
I was going to give you a chance to move up a game on me.
But the Clippers are, they're 4-6 in their last 10. They can't really catch third place. They're about 5 games back. Anyways, they're fighting for seeding too, but I feel like the Clippers kind of have a trend of sitting their stars late in the season. So you never know. They could give Kawhi a rest night or Paul George could take a breather. So I'll take the win, unfortunately, even though it doesn't help my record at all.
Well, I guess we're both going win. We'll be not betting any money on this game at all. But nope. I think of all those games, that's probably the one we could win just because they've kind of also been on a bad streak. But we'll see.
Yes, we're on the same wavelength here, though. We didn't talk about these games beforehand. So
yeah, no, we always don't know. Always don't know.
Yep.
Well, I just wanted to do one quick segment where we kind of look at what Jazz fans on Reddit are saying. One thing I will say, I did talk about, some of them were talking about Taylor Hendricks' defense on Luka and how that's been a little bit of an upside.
Mm-hmm.
One funny comment that I saw, a lot of Jazz fans have turned into Nets fans now because the Nets are actually right above us in the lottery. Yeah. And so if you're having trouble watching Jazz games, go watch a Nets game and just hope that they win so that we can move up in the lottery.
That's what we need.
So that's what a lot of Jazz fans have been talking about. And then the last thing I saw that was interesting was that some of them were talking about the Jazz potential rebrand of their jerseys next season. We've talked about in one of our past episodes how we're finally getting rid of the ugly highlighter yellow jerseys. And I think they are bringing back the mountain jerseys. I don't know for sure. I haven't seen an official statement, but I think that might be happening. I don't know. How would you feel about a rebrand? Do you think it's time, or do we need one more year with what we got?
Yeah, I think it's time. I honestly just feel like we need to pick something and stick with it. I went to a game, I don't know, maybe a month ago with my sister. She's not a Jazz fan, but she's been around Utah, and she was like super confused because she's like, wait, why are some people wearing green and some people are wearing purple and some have yellow? Like, it just, I kind of just wish we would pick something other than highlighter yellow and just roll with it in the future. So I hope we can pick something good.
Okay, and then the last funny post I see, it says, while we are tanking, might as well sign Jabari Parker for a year and give him one more shot in the league. Do you think that's a W or an L take to sign him?
Dude, that's actually a really good take. Why don't we just like load up on old guys? We could get Dwight Howard. We missed the boat on Isaiah Thomas, unfortunately, but you know, go pick up, I don't know, some other guys who
maybe retired. Bring in like Rajon Rondo out of retirement or something.
Rondo, yeah, that'd be sick. I mean, why not? We'll just make it kind of the old team and we'll just have some fun the last couple games.
Hey, Jabari Parker's not that old. I think it would That's be fun, true. But we'll probably not see that happen. But I like that post, so I had to share it.
Fortunately.
Okay, well, let's get into our draft.
Yes.
For Jazz players, but we're drafting only the version of themselves in college. So, like, for instance, if we picked, I'm going to say, like, LeBron James, he would be terrible for this draft because he didn't play at all in college. If we'd picked Jason Tatum, it would have just been his college at Duke, not the NBA. So I think we're just going to draft a starting five. And how about I'll let you take the first pick because I think I've had the first one in our last draft. So
you
take the first pick and then we'll just like serpentine. I'll get the second and third and we'll just keep going that way.
That's fair. Okay, well, in that case, I'm going to take probably one of the best college basketball players ever, Pistol Pete Maravich.
I should have had him on my board.
We originally had talked about like picking guys in the tournament, and when I looked up Pete Maravich, he didn't, as far as I could tell, he didn't play in the tournament because they weren't good enough, but he averaged like 40 points a game. I believe he still holds the record for all-time college player points, so that's I think a pretty good start for me.
Wow. I might get swept in this draft because I think you did more research than me. let's see. I think for my next pick, or for my first pick, I just want to take a guy that I think can be our offensive punch on this team.
Okay.
I'm going to take Trey Burke with my first pick.
Oh, that's a really good one.
Maybe that's a little bit of a reach, but he's going to be my first pick, but I think I have the next one as well.
That's not a bad pick. He was, I believe, National Player of the year before we drafted him, played in the national championship. I believe they lost, but that's a good pick.
Yeah, I'm looking up his college stats, and he averaged, in his best season at Michigan, he averaged 18 points a game. I remember he had some great moments in the tournament. He took them decently far, but
that's not a bad pick.
Okay, so he'll be my scoring punch. Now I need a little bit of somebody that can do a little bit of everything. I don't know if how well you know this name, but he actually did some analysts for the Jazz. I'm gonna take Matt Harpring with my second pick.
Oh, that's a good pick. Wow, I didn't even think about him. Okay.
Yeah, for reference, because I know, at least I'm a young guy, I don't really I didn't watch Matt Harpring when he played. But he was an All-American at Georgia Tech in his time. Really, really good college player. He was the 15th pick by the Magic, but he was good for the Jazz later. But yeah, he was a dog for Georgia Tech in his time. All-time leader in points and rebounds.
Yeah, for a while, him and Andre Kirilenko were quite the 1-2 punch for us. That was, that's a really good pick. I didn't even have him on my list anywhere, so that's crazy.
Dang, okay. Maybe I should. Maybe that was a reach, but
no, that's a good. I didn't even think about him. Okay, my next pick. Oh, I get two in a row, huh? Okay, my next pick is going to be the almost March legend Gordon Hayward. Probably, I mean, had he hit that half court shot, he probably would have been considered one of the greatest March players ever.
Right.
But he still had quite the career. So I'm going to go with Gordon Hayward for that pick. And then for my second pick, I'm going to take Carlos Boozer. Another guy
That's a good pick.
I believe he also lost in the national championship with Duke. But I think that's looking like a good lineup so far.
See, Carlos Boozer, I'm looking up his college stats just because before my time as well. I should have maybe looked him up. He averaged 18 points per game in his third year at Duke. So really good. Really good.
Beast. Yeah.
Okay, so your team is Boozer, Pete Maravich, and who? And Gordon Hayward.
Gordon Hayward.
Dang, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Okay, well, I got a couple good players to start out. I think I got the next two picks. I need a big man, and hopefully I don't throw with this pick, but I'm going to take Kelly Olynyk.
Oh, that's a good one. That's
He was a dog at Gonzaga. He played there for like 3 or 4 years, right? He led them to some deep runs in March Madness, and he's a great college player. So I needed a big man. Let's get Kelly in here. And then for my next pick, I'm going to take Grayson Allen from Duke as well.
Oh, shoot. I forgot about dang it. That's a good pick.
So hopefully can get some guys that have played years in college, not just a one and done. Grayson Allen, I think he played 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
You know he was shoving people. We got some dogs on this team. He's not gonna let anybody talk trash to us. We're gonna play a little dirty and we're gonna win.
Yeah, that's a really good pick. Okay, is it my turn?
Yeah, I think you got the next two.
I believe so. Okay, there's a lot of people I could pick. I'm going to take, since it's college and I don't really need like a traditional big man, I'm going to take Paul Millsap.
Interesting.
Who played at Louisiana Tech. Averaged 18 and 12 in his college career. Kind of a beast. I believe one of his seasons he was 20 and 13 almost. So he's going to be maybe my five. I don't know how that's going to work, but we'll pick Paul Millsap. And then I think I'll round up my lineup with Deron Williams.
Okay, I don't know him as well in college, but I'm sure he was a top pick. So what was his college?
His stats were kind of deceiving. He was 11 points. His highest season, he averaged 12 a game, but it was like 7 assists. And I believe they made a pretty good run. Illinois did that year in the tournament. They made it to the... Oh, he went all the way to the championship and lost as well.
That's a good pick.
My team's full of comeback guys because Hayward, Boozer, and Williams all lost in the Natty. So we got a chip on our shoulder over here.
Okay. I like it. So I think that gives me the last pick, right?
Yes. Well, I get one more bench guy, I believe. I got five right now.
Okay, we could do a six man.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll try and grab a six man as well. So for my next pick, this is the guy I was talking to you before we recorded. This is the guy I think is a total steal. I don't know if you even thought of him.
Okay.
He didn't play for the Jazz too long, but he was really good in college. I'm going to take Eric Paschal with this pick.
Oh, from Nova. That's a good pick.
Yep. He had a great career for Villanova. He was one of their best players. I don't know for sure. I think he was there the year they won the championship, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah, when they hit the buzzer beater, Chris Jenkins. I believe he was.
Yeah, he was in Villanova from 2016 to 2019, so I think he was definitely there for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was an absolute beast for Villanova. Honestly, I wish he played better for the Jazz in his time, but he was pretty good.
Yeah.
So that kind of rounds out my starting lineup. And then off the bench, I think I'm just going to grab Colin Sexton.
Okay. I thought about picking him too. That's a good pick.
Yeah, I mean, he's coming off the bench and getting buckets right now. But he was the leading scorer for Alabama, and I think he helped them to win a couple tournament games and had a good career. Yeah. So we'll take him off the bench.
He probably had one of the most iconic college clips ever where I don't know if you remember the game where Bama had like fouled out almost all their players. They literally only had two players left.
And that's our bench right there,
Sexton,
I guess.
Was just hooping, so that's a good pick if you get injured. Okay. Just since I'm the last pick, some guys I'm thinking about just to shout out a few. Jared Butler, Johnny Juzang, Adrian Dantley, Greg Ostertag's another one. Man, who am I going to go with? I think I'm going to go with Jared Butler because we need somebody who knows how to win a national championship. So he's going to come off my bench, kind of be a utility guy a little.
Okay.
Had a really good college career. And unfortunately, kind of like Eric Paschal, didn't have the greatest Jazz run, but he was a really good college player, so I'll take that.
Yeah, I love to see it. I was also thinking of doing a championship guy. I was maybe going to take Ojai Agbaji.
Oh, that's a good pick.
But instead went with Colin Sexton. I think that was the better guy. But
okay, so my my
go ahead
lineup,
review it. Yeah.
So I've got Deron Williams, Pete Maravich, Gordon Hayward, Carlos Boozer, and Paul Millsap. And then I've got Jared Butler coming off the bench.
Pretty good. I would say most of your guys had a good NBA career too, except maybe Jared Butler. But okay, and then my team, remember, just college, right? Just college. Yeah. I had Trey Burke, Grayson Allen, Matt Harpring, Eric Paschal, and Kelly Olynyk, with Colin Sexton coming off the bench.
Jeez, I thought about maybe cheating a little and like picking up a Derrick Rose or Russell Westbrook, one of those one stop guys.
But I
figured that wouldn't have been fair. So,
I mean, technically, didn't we draft Dominique Wilkins also? So,
oh, that's true. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. Let us know on Instagram who you think had the better team or who you reminisce about watching when they played in college.
We completely left off Donovan Mitchell. That's kind of sad, but he was a good college player.
Yeah, I mean,
as well.
he was good in college, but he's a lot better in the NBA.
Yeah, definitely. But kind of fun, yeah. I don't know. That'd be a fun game to see with all those college guys. It's kind of crazy to see some of them make the jump, and it's kind of a bigger jump than some of them expect. So,
yeah, definitely. Well, I guess I will say, as we're watching or recording this episode, the Arizona-Clemson game just ended. And it was actually, we weren't watching, of course, but just saw Clemson actually upset Arizona in that game. Pretty exciting. So the madness is starting again. Love to see it. Yes. And then
and
we actually,
UConn is up almost 30 points on San Diego State.
Oh, shoot. It was close earlier.
Yeah, they're looking unbeatable right now. So how's your bracket surviving all the madness?
I think this is my worst year for a bracket. I had Kentucky going to the championship. I think you had Kentucky going all the way. We both messed up there. And then I also had got swindled by the analyst to put McNeese in Sweet 16.
Yeah, me too.
McNeese let me down big time. But other than that, it was okay. I've definitely done a second chance bracket because my first one wasn't that good.
Yeah, I thought about doing that. Yeah, I had Kentucky winning it all. I thought Auburn was going to go quite a ways, but
I think everyone thought they would too.
Yeah, but the SEC's been showing out really well other than them. Clemson, obviously. Tennessee. Who else?
Not SEC, but I love to see my Creighton guys go. Stephen Ashworth, he was at Utah State before. He's balling out for Creighton.
Their second round game was so good against Oregon. I don't know if you saw it, double overtime.
Yep.
Stephen Ashworth was hitting some buckets too.
Crazy. Yeah, he's like a 90% free throw shooter, which came in clutch.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
So hopefully some good games, not like this UConn San Diego State one in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Still got six more, I think. So.
Yeah, and I'll also add, we went to a couple March Madness games last week at the Delta Center. Yep. It was so exciting. I don't know how you felt, but this is like the first time I've been to a basketball game where people cheer for both teams, and it's kind of weird.
It is odd, yeah.
And then also they'll put other games on the Jumbotron while you're watching the game that you're at. And so when I was at the Gonzaga McNeese game and they were down by like 30 and they put a different game on the Jumbotron and everyone was cheering for that game instead of the one that we were actually at. So only in March Madness could you see something like that. It's kind of a fun atmosphere, definitely.
Oh, it is so fun. I mean, March Madness is just a beautiful time of year. I feel like college basketball is kind of like hard to follow sometimes just because there's, 200 teams to follow. But
yeah.
March Madness just like dials it in and you get to just kind
of get all the best of the best. Normally.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And those games are fun to go to too. Jazz games get kind of crazy, but college crowds are just so different. Like the noise level is just, I kind of wish
that Delta Center was
like that all the time. Yeah. Yeah, and it's fun. Each team has their cheers and like traditions, and I always feel like that's something the NBA is missing. But what can you do?
Yeah, we gotta fix that in the NBA. Get more loud cheers and fun things like that. But yeah, love March Madness. I can't wait to see how much more busted my bracket can get from here on out.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't get much worse at this point. Mine's pretty bad too, so.
Oh, yeah. It's just fun. If you joined our bracket group, I guess you'll probably be beating us at this point. I think we're both kind of in the bottom five at least, so.
Yeah.
We'll see who ends up winning that, but that's been fun too.
Yeah, I wonder. We haven't checked who's winning, actually. Let's see. I was going to check real quick. Probably should have done this before, but.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken,
I'm currently in 17th place, so that's not great. But let's see who is in first. The Tuned In Jazz group. Shout out to Cannonball 12 picks. They're currently in first place.
Shoot.
They got Purdue winning it all, so does Rach Gosh Dang. Rach Gosh Dang, I don't know who that is, but crazy.
For sure.
Yeah, congrats. Number one so far. Yeah,
Rach Gosh Dang is actually my sister. And
oh, nice. Yeah, okay.
She's doing pretty good. And then shout out to Cannon. He's doing well also.
Yeah.
But it's been fun. We'll see who ends up winning at the end.
Thank you. Thank you all for joining us this week on our episode of Tuned In Jazz. And we apologize for the short break for the week. But remember to follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, and at Tuned In Jazz on Instagram. And we'd love to hear whose Utah Jazz March Madness team is better. So make sure to leave that in the comments.
I think it's a toss-up. We both have some pretty good teams, but we'll see.
We do.
Well, thank you to everyone. We'll see you next week, and take care.